Welcome back, my friend. Welcome back to the broadcast. It is Eric DeFreitas, streaming on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thanks for joining me. Oh, yeah, by the way, I guess tomorrow's Thanksgiving. I wasn't paying much attention, really, because with everybody sitting in jail, I don't think they're having much of a Thanksgiving. Although it is good news that Ryan got out and he's going to be able to leave the halfway house to go home and have a Thanksgiving with his family, which is cool. While everybody else is still sitting in there, it's not much consolation, but a little teeny bit. Great for him, and I'm glad. But, you know, everybody else is still sitting there, so I ask everybody to keep all the persecuted patriots in mind. This is the worst patriot persecution I've ever seen, with Tom Lacovara at the top of the list. This is his broadcast the ninth year of the Obama administration. So I want to urge people to support the network. We're going to go back to John Lamb, and I think we're going to bring in Carol. We have a caller, and we're going to bring her right in because Carol may have a question for John Lamb, and I don't want to make her wait until after John leaves and then have her say, oh, I had a question for John, because I just suspect she might, or at least something pertinent to what we have going on here with the Bundy trials this next year here that we're going through. And although we have good news, you know, that the C word and the N word, the word constitution and nullification managed to slip out in court, and that's good always for the jury to hear that, because they're going to research these things when they go home at night. And they don't like being told, go back to your room, children. You don't need to know about this. You don't need to know about that. I think that's going to be just exactly what the defense needs to get the jury really sour at the government, and rightfully so. They're going to get a good taste. They're going to get a learning session in history and the Constitution and freedom. And they're also going to get a learning session in corruption and absolute just criminal activity in the courts with the attorneys. They're all attorneys that you're watching here, except the good ones that seem to be doing a decent job for the Bundys and company. So let's bring in Carol with John Lamb and Lori. I'll turn it back over to kind of you. Carol, come on in, and then Lori, do you have anything to discuss with Carol and John? Carol, what's up? Do you have something to discuss with John tonight?
Yes. Hello, Eric.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello? Yeah, good.
How are you?
I can, I'm fine, thank you. I just cannot commend you, Eric, and Lori, and John, and Chris, and Gary, every one of you. Thank you for this tremendous case update that you provide for us. We're not getting it anywhere else, nowhere near to the extent that you're providing it. One of you, I think maybe it was Lori, that called this trial, the Bundy trial, and all the defendants involved, the trial of the century. And
yes, ma'am.
It certainly is that. Yes, thank you. That's tremendous. Okay. Now, I hope that Tom Lacovara is able to listen tonight. Do you know if he is or not?
I am not sure.
We are not sure.
I hope he'll call in if he can.
That would be great.
Okay. One thing, I do have a question, and possibly John is the best one that can answer it. But I got to tell you, I am amazed. What kind of a court is this trial being held in? Because we've all heard over and over and over and over the judges in these federal courts or any other level court saying, you don't mention Constitution in my court. How in the world are they wonderfully getting to air the Constitution so extensively? That's what my question is.
It's called a start. It's called a start, and I'm going to turn this over to Chris and Lori. It's called a start, and John, it's called a star chamber court, operating as a militarized ecclesiastic tribunal.
How come they haven't thrown out the Constitution, Eric? Why haven't they thrown out the word don't you mention that in here. That's my question.
They're working on it. They're doing everything they can to take away the last little bit of freedoms we have, and we got to hold the line.
The reason they've been unable to do that, the reason that, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, but I think I understand exactly what she's asking. The first two trials, they were adamant that the Constitution was not to be brought up at all. The jury became enraged because they were not allowed to bring up the Constitution. The jury saw that every time they would try to bring up the Constitution, that they would get, the defendants would get reprimanded, and they would get reprimanded severely, vocally, and even to the point when other things were going on in the previous trial, Eric Parker was even taken off the stand in his own defense because he wasn't allowed to have witnesses that he had to prove. So what happened was they're learning from the previous trials. This is my observation from where I'm at. But they're learning from the previous trials. If they do that, these people are going to be acquitted. So what has happened is Ryan didn't just come out forthwith to teach them about the Constitution. He opened it up because he asked the gentleman on the stand, had this gentleman taken an oath of office? And he said yes. Well, when you say yes, you have to know what you've taken that oath to. So he asked him, does he know exactly? Do you know what this says? And he did not know. So therefore, he had to refresh his memory, pull out the Constitution, which is what he took that oath to, and asked him to read that. Is that pretty much correct, John?
That's correct. And that's how he brought it in. It was kind of a strategic play on Ryan Bundy's part. He had to play it really carefully.
Let me refresh your memory.
Yes, and for him to be representing himself, I don't think any of the defense lawyers could have done it. Because Ryan Bundy himself is representing himself. So it becomes, they have this wordplay, a state of mind. What was the state of mind the defendant was in back then? Well, this was Ryan Bundy's state of mind. The Constitution was a part of his life. So for him, he can bring out his state of mind and what he was thinking, and this comes to the very heart of this whole case, the Constitution. It also is my state of mind. So with that, and if it was any other witness, I don't know if he could have brought it out. This witness was the most perfect timing to do this. This witness was an attorney. He had served in the Air Force for 14 years. He took an oath to uphold the Constitution. He should have known what it was.
So and to defend it. And to defend it.
All I can say, John, is that the Spirit is a move upon the waters. That's what I'm getting.
Yes, it is.
Wow. It was a blessing in disguise. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. God bless every single one of you. I know there's a lot of sadness still going on with the, what is it, 74-year-old man in there treated like a criminal that cannot be with his wife and family for Thanksgiving, plus some of the other brothers. There's a lot of sadness still. However, you've shown, you've given us some enhanced reason for giving thanks tomorrow. So I wish all of you a blessed Thanksgiving, and maybe next year we can have our freedoms back because of people like you.
Oh, God bless you, honey. You're more than welcome, and thank you.
Oh, thank you. You're very welcome. Sorry, the last thing I want to ask you or any of them, do any of you know how I can get a copy of Ryan Bundy's opening statement? I went on YouTube and wherever, and I can't find it.
Huh? Yes. I will have that shortly. The defense team is actually going to get me a copy of that. We haven't got it released from the court yet because it's a transcript. But we will have that shortly, and if you're able to send either Lori or Eric or even myself a message somehow through Facebook or some other way, I'll make sure you get a copy of it.
It was so wonderful that John had Tom on where Tom, it was beautiful where Tom read that the other day. And you know what I was thinking as I was listening to Ryan Bundy's opening statement? I thought, hallelujah, Thomas Jefferson has nothing over on Ryan Bundy.
Amen. And you know, we've all been placed here at this specific time in history by God Almighty. Think about that.
Thank you.
For just such a time as this. And I do want to let you know, that Read Out News, and I will give the link to Mike so that he can put it under the copy of this show on the internet. And then that way you can get a hold of the opening statements, or at least what Read Out News has on the opening statements in there.
Super.
They did a really good article on that because there was someone in the court doing shorthand of Ryan Bundy's, and that was one of the people that are observers with us. They gave that to Read Out News. That was an excellent. That was almost word for word. It was great.
Beautiful. Well, good night. Thank you all for the great work, and thanks for giving me some minutes here. Okay.
Oh, thank you so much, sweetheart. You have a blessed Thanksgiving.
You
have
too.
A great,
bless you.
Great
bye-bye.
Thanksgiving, Carol. Appreciate you calling in. That was an awesome call. We appreciate that. I wanted to just give Chris, I think, wanted to throw something in, and then we'll get right back to Lori and John.
I was just going to say, I think if somebody actually wanted to obtain the video of that particular day's testimony that had Ryan Bundy, they could probably purchase it from the courts at uscourts.gov online. At least they'd have a phone number you could call and talk to the ex officio clerk of the court who could guide them who to speak to in order to obtain that video.
I think it's usually like $25 or something. Yeah, it's a good way to get it through the court as well. Yep, and it familiarizes you with the court and the system and the procedure, and it's always good to have that knowledge. Lori and John?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, John, is there any other things you wanted to mention about court today? Or about the feeling in the air?
Well, I know everyone was excited when they left. So, I mean, we felt like it was a big day for the defense. The last couple of days have been. So everyone was excited. We're glad that Ryan Bundy gets to go to be with his family all day tomorrow. So it was a good day. We're all feeling good about it. We're ready for Monday. We have court next week for 4 days, Monday through Thursday, and then we'll be off for 10 days through December. So the first 10 days of December, there's no court. And then we'll be back on the 11th of December to keep resuming this court case if it goes that far.
Right. Well, we appreciate you so much, John. I know that America appreciates you, and even people that are outside the United States of America are paying very close attention to this case, because even though they don't fall under our Constitution, if you will, they understand the full scope of what is going on. They're dealing with it also. UN Agenda 21 is not just here in the United States of America, everybody, and they realize the full scope of this. So they're keeping a very close eye on that, and I am thankful for that, and I'm so thankful for you. So thankful for you taking your time, sometimes many, many, many days and hours away from your family, and in order to make sure that we get the truth about what is going on, and that you yourself have sacrificed a lot for the cause of liberty and for the cause of actually following the law and holding the government, if you will, accountable to following the law. And that's what is so funny. You know, when you were saying earlier, Ryan's going to his state of mind is the Constitution. Understand when John is saying that and when Ryan is saying that, his state of mind is to follow the law. That's his state of mind.
This is Gary Dunn. May I please for a minute?
Yes.
Yes, John, this is Gary Dunn, and I'd like to ask just two or three quick questions. Number one,
yes.
when these people are taking their oath, are they taking the oath to the United States of America? As we watched both President and Vice President, they never took an oath to the United States of America. That's the first question.
No, to the United States.
The second question is this really a United States of America constitutional court? I asked him that in the Sixth District Court when we were in James Nichols, and I got an answer, absolutely not. It's not
no,
a
it's
constitutional
not.
Court. And maybe you're not even in a constitutional court. Now, the second thing, if you let me finish, I won't interrupt you. It says the other thing, you have to find out how many of these people, including that judge, has a kol nidre oath. Okay? And if you don't kind of go through that, I'm sure Eric can explain it all the way through to you. If they have a kol nidre oath, which the kol nidre oath is the oath they almost every one of them take that swears off any other oath they take, it's null and void. That's why they feel so cocky in there and they get silent.
Yeah, I've looked it up. It's a real thing. It's called the kol nidre oath. Thank you, Gary. Excellent questions. I think my take is that, hold on, my dogs are getting out of hand, but I think my take is that if they did take the kol nidre oath, which trumps all the other oaths and allows them to quote-unquote do whatever they want to do, then I don't think they'll ever admit it. So that one, I think, is tough to nail down, Gary. Any comments on that, John, or anything else that went on in court today?
Nothing else that went on in court today there, no.
Well, is this the United States of America court? Does it say that on the paperwork? Are the names all in caps?
It probably just says the people of the United States. I'll bet you money it just says people of the United States versus. And you're probably right. It does not say United States of America. And Gary's right. I watched the Donald Trump swearing in, and he did not say United States of America. He said President of the United States.
And
there is
a big and guys, can I chime in on that?
Are all in caps?
Okay. Now, with that being said, as we know, I know exactly what you're talking about. And even though you're talking about the corporation, which we well know, the corporation has their Constitution of the United States. We're not talking about Constitution of the United States of America. Constitution of the United States still binds them to those certain rules via contract. And the Constitution of the United States, when they swear their oath to the Constitution of the United States, which is basically bylaws, like to a big Walmart, you know, but still via in the Constitution of the United States of that corporation, they're still violating that.
I could add a little to that conversation.
Sure.
Gary's exactly right. The USDC courts are not American law courts. They're foreign law courts. You can find that in Balzac versus Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
Further, this is really, really difficult for most people to grasp. We have two different forms of government operating parallel, mm-hmm. one above board, one below board. And the American law courts are below board. And these foreign law USDC courts are territorial courts, and they're only supposed to be in the 10-mile square, which is D.C., and in the grants of land made patent that have been ceded to them by the states that they have purchased and hold some form of title interest in, under the Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, enumerated purposes.
Mm-hmm. And for U.S. Code 72. Don't forget that one.
Good point.
John, anything else about today?
That's all I have for today. I do appreciate you having me on there, and I would sometime maybe I'll get a hold of Gary there or Chris, and we'll talk about that, because that's some interesting topic for myself. So I agree with them there, and I've got one of these days when we're not on all this, I tell you a whole bunch of stuff about my bringing up and some interesting stuff.
Well, so John, I also want to say before you get off here, look up 4 U.S. Code 72, because that's the code that also backs up Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. That's the statute that backs it up. It tells them they have to remain inside the District of Columbia for the feds.
I'll definitely do that.
Okay.
Well, I
just want to say thank you so much. And not a problem. And I want to say thank you so much for everything you're doing to keep us updated. And I hope that you and your family have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And just stay safe, and we look forward to more updates. And I will let Eric and Chris and Gary chime in.
We'll let you get going, John. I know you got your family. You've been more than generous with your time. Ladies and gentlemen, that's John Lamb, L-A-M-B, and he can be found. You can just type in his name, YouTube John Lamb, and you'll come up with all his stuff. He does great. He's the best source for what's going on with the trial of the century, and it's not hyperbole and it's not an overstatement to call it that. This truly is. This affects everyone, and it affects everyone on so many different levels. It's mind-boggling. So, John Lamb, thank you so much. Keep us updated next week. Have a great weekend, and we'll keep at it next week, and we appreciate all your activism as well.
Thank you, and God bless, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, my friend. Thanks again. Lori, back to you.
Absolutely. So we have some different information that I wanted to share with you all as well. And, you know, may be able to lock the individual up, but you're not going to be able to break their spirit if they're a true patriot, they're true blue. So I'm going to tell you something. Dwayne Elmer is going to prison, and guess what he is going to do? As you know, he was related with the Oregon situation. I'm not going to read the entire article, but I think that this needs to be shared because this shows you they refuse to allow their spirit to be broken even by tyrannical and corrupt government situation. These courts not going to allow it to be broken. So Dwayne Elmer was convicted of a felony of willfully damaging the refuge or deprivation of government property by using a refuge excavator to dig two deep trenches, and misdemeanor trespassing, tampering with government vehicles and equipment, and destruction and removal of government property during the 41-day armed occupation of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. For these, he was sentenced to serve 1 year and 1 day in prison and to pay restitution in the amount of $10,000. The restitution is based upon a claim that a burial ground was disturbed, though no evidence of a burial or artifacts have been presented. So just words by someone who wasn't there is sufficient to steal Dwayne's hard-earned money when he gets out of prison. Now, this is what
he said. That could have been a lot worse. That could have been a lot
worse. Well, this gets great. So this is what, I'm not going to go into the full article, but he said this part of it. I'm going to tell you part of what he said, and then I'm going to tell you the amazing thing he's planning on doing. It just shows you.
In less than a year anyway, with a little bit of, sometimes with good time, they let you out of two-thirds. You know, he may only be in there for 6 or 8. I mean, I'm not saying it's good what happened to him, but it could have been worse. I think some of the heat that the people put on and the public pressure from this case does help the judge keep these sentences down because they just don't, you know what I mean? The public pressure makes a difference. And so do you think that the maximum was going to be over 3 years, wasn't it?
I believe so. So what happened is he said, quote, "I'm a proud American veteran and father. I am active in my community and a small business owner. After 10 years of good service, I left the Army. I was too broken for military service any longer. I had to start over with a hearing loss and PTSD and other issues. I tried to isolate myself from the world, just focusing on what was important in life and starting over. I taught myself to weld and started a welding business. I built my business for about 10 years before the refuge. When I went to the refuge, I went because I heard on the radio that terrorists had taken over the Burns Wildlife Refuge. This wasn't the case. I went there expecting to stop terrorists in my backyard. This is why I went to the refuge. I had no background information about the Bundys or the Hammonds before I got there. I had never heard anything to do with the militias or anything else. Once I arrived at the refuge, I quickly learned that what was happening on the ground didn't match what was being told to anyone. The Hammond family came the first morning I was there, and I learned their story firsthand. So I tried to talk to the locals about what was going on. I knew old cowboys never begged for help, but they begged us to stay. I also knew it was going to get real ugly and dangerous after being there 3 or 4 days. I returned home." Now, I'm not going to continue because it is a very long statement, but I'm going to tell you what announcement he has made, and it is amazing to me. Quote, "This is a big announcement. I came home after the sentencing, and I asked Hellboy if he was up to one last ride. So he gave me a nod like horses do. I will be riding across the state, carrying the flag, to turn myself in at the federal prison in Sheridan. One last ride." Unquote. If you don't remember who he is, he's the one who was riding Hellboy and flying the flag at Operation Occupy Malheur. So that is how he is going to turn himself in. He is going to ride his horse all the way across the state and flying the flag. Is that not amazing about the true deep spirit of these patriots?
Yeah, that's awesome that he's doing that.
I thought that was awesome.
I mean, I don't like the reason he's having to do it. Once again, right. This is why I'm encouraging people to do something activist. We can prevent things like this from happening, where patriots are getting unlawfully incarcerated. If we all pick a cause, pick a part of a solution, and just go at it. And of course, you know my favorite thing, jury nullification. John has told us that the word's really getting out there. They have got signs, they've got shirts, they've got flyers, and I encourage everybody listening to this broadcast to do something in, with getting the word jury nullification out there, because that'll keep everybody safe in their community.
Absolutely. You know, and it doesn't even have to be nullification. In this, it should be a straight acquittal. But we do have a caller, Eric. So, Rick, how are you doing this evening? And what are your thoughts about the trials of the century?
Doing well, thank you. And my input is this. This trial, the defendants in this trial might benefit from a study of what happened in Nye County, Nevada, a few short years ago, when Sheriff Tony DeMeo stood up against the BLM, when the BLM was trying to run roughshod over Wayne Hague and his ranch over water rights. The BLM said, we're going to come in and SWAT team Mr. Hague. And Sheriff Tony DeMeo said, you bring your boys, I'll bring mine. So what I'm driving at here is Sheriff Lombardo and his predecessor, both, can be considered as derelict in their duty and perhaps should be on trial.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Members of the BLM, including Daniel P. Love, perhaps should be on trial for not only dereliction of duty, but criminal overstepping of authority. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I do know that they are aware of the Hague situation. I also got them the information where Ramona Hague was giving the information out to the CSBOA. I do know that they are aware of that. I don't know if they are aware of the sheriff's stand on that. I can definitely find out about that. And as far as Daniel Love and all of those individuals need criminal actions brought against them. They didn't even follow the court order. They were killing cattle. They were assaulting people. They were aggressively armed as a military. They were better armed than our military are overseas, where they're fighting the unlawful wars right now. So, you know, with all of the things that they did, and it was a complete violation of the court order in the first place. They weren't allowed to kill cattle. They weren't allowed to go in and tear up private property as far as the water pipes and all of that. They destroyed all of that intentionally, hatefully. That was not part of the court order. If you will, just
can
hang
you keep
with
me
us,
around
Rick.
Till after the break?
Yes, absolutely. Hang with us, Rick, and we'll be right back after a couple of words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Freedom Scream with Eric Hughes Jones, and I am co-host Lori Anderson. I want to thank you so very much for joining us this evening, as we have had some really wonderful news. God is moving in miraculous ways in the trial of the century, the Bundy trial that affects each and every one of us. Every one of us are fighting all across this union. And it is us that is turning the tide with God's help. All right. So, Rick, as you were saying, you were asking about the Hague case, and you were talking about Nye County, Nevada, and you were talking about Sheriff Tony
DeMeo. DeMeo, DeMeo, DeMeo. What we need in this country is more Sheriff DeMeos. We need men who understand their authority under the Constitution and are willing to exercise that authority at whatever cost. And we need men, I am embarrassed to say this, perhaps more of these fellows that cut their teeth back east in the tougher cities. This is where DeMeo came from. They know how to stand up to the federal government with armed forces if necessary. This is what the jury needs to understand and will come to respect and to back.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree, absolutely. We need more sheriffs that are not scared and just cowtail to this quote-unquote federal authority. The feds know that they don't have the authority without the permission of that sheriff in that county. They know that. And sometimes they will try to come at that sheriff with threats and everything else, but when the sheriff takes that stand and doesn't back down, especially when your community members and the people within your community know that you are a constitutional sheriff that will defend your people that are there that elected you, your people will back you up. The sheriff has the authority to deputize. And so many people keep forgetting that. The sheriff has the authority to deputize his citizen or his people.
With the right sheriffs in place, the Hammonds aren't in prison.
Right.
Special agent in charge, Portland, Greg Bretzing, whom I believe was behind the assassination of Lavoy Finicum, he would be behind bars at the very least. That's what he would be suffering now. But there's one thing before I go I need to point out, and that is there's a disturbing development in Nye County, and that's Sheriff DeMeo's county. Okay. I don't know if he's currently the sheriff there or not still. But it's Nye County where they're torturing Ammon Bundy. And a sheriff doing his duty shouldn't let that happen under his watch.
Okay, that's Nye County is where Ammon Bundy's located right now?
That's Pahrump, Nevada, correct. Pahrump.
Okay, that's Pahrump.
So
yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I think if I'm
the claws of Harry Reid here.
Oh yeah, know.
Correction Corporation America.
Right. If I'm not mistaken, and I know that this was when he was over in that federal prison, I do know that it was a lady that was a sheriff at that time. So I don't know if
I met her.
I don't know if Sheriff DeMeo is no longer there, or I don't know. That's something we need to check into, though.
A dirty, rotten criminal like Harry Reid could make a phone call and a phone call there, and then inform DeMeo that he plays ball, or maybe his family ends up in a ditch. You know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't put anything past that criminal.
Right. Has anyone wondered why, since he quote unquote retired from Washington, nobody's heard much out of Mr. Harry Reid? Have you noticed that? I wonder if he skipped the United States of America. I'm just curious.
Maybe his brother gave him another deserved whooping, and he's decided to keep a low profile.
That's possible.
Happy Thanksgiving, folks.
Happy Thanksgiving. You have a very blessed Thanksgiving.
Thanks for calling, Rick.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And now we have Dave. How are you doing tonight, Dave?
Oh, hi, Laurie.
Hi.
Yeah, hey, listen, you know, well, one of the monikers for the devil is Old Harry. That's a name of the devil, Old Harry. Did you know that?
Never heard that.
Is that just something recent, or you got some historical evidence on that? Because I was interested that Prince Harry was doing the devil horn sign with Mrs. Trump over there in England. That was kind of disturbing, no surprise.
You can look that up in virtually any dictionary, Eric. Old Harry, it's a moniker of the devil. It's a title of the devil, Old Harry.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Never heard that
but,
one.
But the reason I called is, I'll tell you something I find very strange, and it was Chris last night. I just as you were saying goodbye to me, I heard Chris say, was it a Mossad heart attack? Now listen, tell me if this isn't strange. I didn't know what Jim Mars died of, but I looked it up today, and he died of a heart attack. Now, listen to this. The two preeminent conspiracy research scientists, They're both in Texas, Jim Mars and Tex Mars, okay? Now, Jim Mars had his heart attack and died on August 2nd, and Tex had his heart attack about a little over a week later on August 11th, and he thought he died. He was unconscious for 2 days. It was a real serious heart attack. But the Kennedy secret files, the classified documents on the Kennedy assassination, were both these men were looking eagerly looking forward and hoping that, you know, that Trump was going to allow the documents to be released. So isn't it so strange that the two, as I say, preeminent research conspiracy scientists in the country, Tex Mars and Jim Mars, both of them in Texas, and that's where Kennedy was assassinated, of course, in Texas, and virtually within a week of each other, one dies of a heart attack, and one was supposed to die of a heart attack. And Tex Mars said, was surprised. Boy, I thought I was as healthy as a horse. He said, I had no idea that I had a weak heart. I thought I was as healthy as a horse and everything, you know. But don't you find that strange?
Yeah, it is, and it's kind of odd that it's from one died on the 2nd, one died on the 11th. From the 2nd, it's 9 days till the 11th, and that is kind of weird. Just the odd circumstances. He could have. You never know. I mean, they can. There's a lot of poisons that the assassins can use to make things look like a heart attack. That's true. Supposedly, the CIA has a heart attack gun that they can shoot people with some kind of directed energy, and induce a heart tremor to the point of, you know, fatal.
But there's also injections of certain things that mimic a heart attack as well.
Yep.
That are untraceable.
Or a very little bit of radioactive material. Could be a number of things. Very interesting. Anything else there, my friend?
Eric, just other than Laurie's 100% right about all of the power of the county sheriff, of course. He's the most powerful law enforcement official in the country. People don't understand this. But the creation is not greater than the creator. And everything.
The state is
composed of the counties, and then the federal government's composed of the states. And but people have been brainwashed into thinking it's the exact other way around. That the federal government is the most powerful, then the states, and then the counties are nothing. It's the exact opposite. The county sheriff is the most powerful law enforcement officer in the whole country. In their county, as Laurie says, they're more powerful than the FBI, the CIA, and they have the power to just deputize everybody in the county, including men, women and children, and get those feds the hell out of my county, or we're going to start shooting.
Think about this though. Think about this awesome thought. When Denny Payton, I believe that was the sheriff that made this statement, when he was sheriff out in Kentucky, if I really hope that it's the correct sheriff that I'm talking about, but he lived out in Kentucky, you know, and he refused to go along with unlawful gun laws. This was during the Obama administration, and he was unpiling a ton of corruption, and he was going after the corruption over in his county. And he very flatly made a statement. Why you have about, and he was referring to other law enforcement agencies, what have you. You may have 50 on your force, but I have 3,000 residents that have my back. So if you empower the people, you don't even have that kind of money issue either of having to shell out of your pockets for spending for extra law enforcement, because your people are there to take care of it, which is what we're supposed to do anyway. We are the original Homeland Security. Discussed this yesterday.
You know, go ahead.
Yes.
You know, there's an aspect of this that a lot of people don't think about, but I'm back east here, and I grew up in, like, this Irish Catholic culture back here in Boston and everything, and I've been around, you know, around Catholics and Catholic priests and everything. I'm going to tell you something, and people don't consider this, but I've lived back east here, but then I've also lived out west much of my life and for years up in Alaska and everything, and I'm here to tell you, those federal agencies like the FBI and the CIA and the BATF, they're filled with Catholics. And most of the people out west that stand up for God and country, the Bible and the scriptures and for Americanism, are Protestants. And I'm here to tell you that those Catholic bastards, they still look upon the Protestants. Even out west, the Protestant Americans, these rat bastard Catholics back east here, they love to kill you heretics. So I'm telling you people out there in the counties out west, You better hang together or you're going to hang separately, because these Catholics back east and the BATF, the FBI, the whole damn bunch of them, they're filled with these Catholic killers, and they're also Protestant blood. Okay?
That is very interesting.
You Protestants out there have to defend yourself against these Catholic killers. They love to kill you heretics.
Okay. And that's exactly what they think we are. Yes, absolutely. That's what they think we are.
You know, I'm around these Catholic bastards all the time and everything, and it's so bizarre that, you know they love Buddhists and Hindus and communists. They love everybody that the people they still have a visceral hatred for, a murderous hatred for, is Protestants. And they hate people that you know, that they hate the Bible. They hate people that read the Bible. And you know, I'm telling you, man, those feds.
Let me tell you what my thought pattern is on that. That's because where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty.
Very good, yeah.
They do not want individuals to have that liberty. They want control.
And you know, the last thing I'll say, Laurie, now, and you guys can check this out, but the Marshall Deegan, William Deegan, that evidently shot little Sammy Weaver and Stryker, his dog Stryker, out there on Ruby Ridge, you know, and they were shooting Vicky, holding little Alicia Burr and blew her head off and everything. But do you know that rat bastard Marshall Deegan is still on it every year back here? They have a marathon run. You can Google this. Look it up, the Marshall Deegan Marathon. And they still, to this day, characterize, in the local paper, the Patriot Ledger, they still characterize Randy Weaver as a white separatist, supremacist, neo-Nazi supremacist, when it was all litigated in the courts with Jerry Spence and everything, and Randy Weaver was completely exonerated. He's none of those things like the Patriot Ledger, even this past year, described him. And they still honor this Marshal William Deegan as a big hero. And that's a perfect, and he was a Catholic bastard, killer bastard. And they still honor that cold-blooded, murderous killer.
Let me read something.
Yeah, he shot Sammy in the back when Sammy was running, whatever.
What's up?
Eric?
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of a delay, so I apologize. I'm not trying to talk over you, but I'm getting a little feedback on my own voice, and it was just a little confusing. But I wanted to read you something. You gotta want to hear something interesting? Did you hear what the Pope said on November 17th? Listen to this, what the Pope said. Actually, this was a little before that. People who are concerned about the pedophile epidemic sweeping the United States with the Vatican, it's an overblown right wing conspiracy, according to Pope Francis, who also claims that, quote, and this is a quote from the Pope, humanity must become more tolerant about different types of love. Apparently, he believes that men raping children is love. Speaking with Uruguay's El Pais newspaper, Pope Francis responded to the why the Catholic Church has spent over $4 billion on child abuse settlements. And he said it's because there's an overblown right-wing conspiracy designed to harm the church. As if he was suggesting the Catholic priests were all innocent of a conspiracy, he said humanity must become more tolerant about different types of love.
Let me say this, Eric, though. I want to add something real quick.
Yeah, Lori, you're going to love this. He accused Jesus of, quote, debasing himself up to the point of totally annihilating himself. And he also said that Jesus Christ made him, quote, made himself the devil, the serpent, for us. And I listened to, and I'm going to tell you where this website is.
It's called Talmud stuff right there.
Well, listen, I want people to read, hear from the Pope himself, and you can find a good clip from him speaking to the people in South America, I think it was. It's at yournewswire.com, and they have yournewswire.com has a piece where he's speaking, and he says you cannot be a Christian unless you're with the church. You cannot have a personal relationship with God or with Jesus. You've got to have it with the church. And without the church, you're not a real Christian. And he was actually, and the people out there are eating it up. It was unbelievable. So go to yournewswire.com.
Right.
They did a good job on this article.
To be Christian is to be Christ-like. And that is not supporting the things that Jesus Christ himself taught against. However, I do want to say this, because you said about men raping children. I agree with that. But let's not forget, women rape them too.
Oh, absolutely. Let's,
women cannot get off the hook with that.
I know. I didn't. I got you. In July, Pope Francis told the Italian newspaper La Repubblica that the United States of America has a, quote, distorted vision of the world, and Americans must be ruled by a world government for their own good.
Mm-hmm. I'm ruled by one, and that's Jesus.
Let's never lose sight of the fact, you know, this Jorge Bergoglio, okay, and all these criminals change their name. He's known now as Pope Francis, but his real name is Jorge Bergoglio. Do you know he was the preeminent prelate when the Argentine military junta took over Argentina, and thousands of people disappeared? They're called the desaparecidos. And Jorge Bergoglio was the preeminent prelate in Argentina when those rat bastards were in the middle of the night just putting black hoods over people, never to be seen again. Thousands of them. Where are they, Bergoglio? Where are they, Pope Francis? What did you do with all the desaparecidos when you were the preeminent prelate and working nefariously with the Argentine junta, military junta? You're a killer.
Yeah, that's
You're
true.
A murderer.
Yeah, they worked with all the juntas. They worked with Hitler. They worked with Mussolini. The church has worked with every dictator. Just read the 1933 Concordat, C-O-N-C-O-R-D-A-T, the Concordat of 1933, and look at the arrangement that the Vatican had with Hitler to be, right up there with everything, to how the taxes were going to be levied, how the Jesuit priests were going to be immune from any scrutiny, how the whole, they had it all worked out. It was a complete charter, top to bottom, unbelievable. Dave, thanks for the call. Check in with us again next week, and have a good Thanksgiving, okay?
Yes, back at you, Eric. God bless you. Yeah.
God bless you, Dave. Thank you. You have a great Thanksgiving.
Classic phone call. Beautiful, Dave. Thanks, man. So we got about 2 or 3 minutes left, and I just want to remind people to support the network if you enjoy what you hear. I enjoyed what I heard. We got another caller. Let's try to squeeze it in. Who is it, Mike? Who? Well, go ahead, my friend.
Hello?
Yep.
Hi, Ken. Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, Ken.
Thank you. Short and sweet, baby.
Unfortunately, I always end up coming in on the end because there's so many things I want to talk about, and my mind keeps getting shifted from one place to another. But Tex Mars had mentioned that he was on pill medications, and I'd read a study that said, unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me, that in the last 25 years, I'm also diabetic, and most of the pill medications are the cause of all of the symptoms that attributed to diabetes, including the heart attacks and the strokes.
Uh-huh.
I've been on insulin, and I don't have any of these problems.
Oh,
the
wow,
other thing
okay.
is, so I don't know what, now, when you say he's healthy as a horse, I believe it. He also once said that the current Pope is a Jew.
Hmm.
Hmm. I don't know if that means anything or not, but the other thing I'd like to draw your attention to is the 28 U.S.C. 3002. We're talking
yep.
about the way
15 A, B, and C.
Yes. The thing that I, Al Whitney always talks about that, and I think she points to 15 where it says the U.S. is a corporation, but if you look at the subsection
yep.
before it, they're mixing. They're using a definition where they're saying that the United States means the several states, and then they mix the territories in with it. They mix them all together.
Mm-hmm.
That can't
yeah.
be good. That whole thing is wrong. And the other thing is, I don't know if Gary's still there. Where does the authority for the Kol Nidre exist? What's the point of having an oath if you can undo it with another oath?
As far as I know, that to answer real quick, that starts in the Sanhedrin court, which Paul and his family are a member of the Sanhedrin court. Don't forget that. There were high up officials in the Sanhedrin court, and we have Sanhedrin courts all over America yet today.
Okay.
I swear.
All right. Well,
I have a suspicion that that's actually the Sanhedrin courts rather than the Sanhedrin, but they've respelled it.
You're correct. You're correct. But they
I'll try to call.
You're correct on that. Chris, thank you. But check it out.
Are you on? When are you going to be on next?
We'll be on tomorrow night.
I don't know. Well, as far as Eric the Freedom Screamer is concerned,
We're off Thursday and Friday, and we'll be back on Monday.
Okay, very good. Try to call again. Bye.
All right. As always, everyone, watch your backs, check your backs. Semper Fidelis, have a wonderful night. Have a blessed, blessed Thanksgiving. And Thomas Lacavera Stewart, if you're listening, we wish you a merry, very, very wonderful Thanksgiving. And we're thankful that you are out. Congratulations to Ryan Bundy.
Ryan Bundy, too.
Spend it with his family.
Thank you, everybody.
And
thank
Ryan
you, Lori, Gary,
too.
Chris, John Lamb. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate Mike on the board. Thank you, Mike Herzog, John Stantmiller, and we'll see everybody next week. Thanks.
I've been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+.